What's the virus COVID news?
We'll get the numbers today. You know, the SEC, all the schools announced their most updated numbers that they released to everybody on Tuesdays, and that usually comes, you know, with testing done after Sunday, Monday, and usually after a game, but of course not for Florida this week because of the COVID running rampant through the football team last week. So last number we got from Scott Strickland was 21 players, 18 scholarship players, 3 walk-ons that had contracted the virus, and that's the last thing we've heard, and that was last Thursday. So of course, you know, more testing was going to happen, so we'll see if that number rises or falls when that number gets released today. And then of course on Saturday, Dan Mullen comes out and said it was confirmed that he also had coronavirus. So my assumption there, Bill, is him coming out Saturday and saying that it was confirmed, probably tested positive somewhere earlier in the week, and then it was probably confirmed with another test on Saturday there. So Florida did get to play LSU this past week. Doesn't get to play Missouri this week, Bill, and it looks like they probably won't even be allowed football facility is completely closed right now. I mean, it's just like football's not even happening right now. And from everything I can gather, it looks like they won't even be on the practice field. We won't even be back together as a team until Sunday, and that's even at the earliest. So, Bill, the question is, you know, how much time do you need to get ready for your next game? How much time do you need to get ready for Missouri? And when you are available to come back to the facility, you know, we don't know who tested positive. We don't know when they tested positive. So, you know, I doubt it's even the full team when they get back together this coming up weekend.
And the Missouri game, they're going to play that, what, 2 weeks out, Halloween, that weekend?
Yeah, Halloween. That was supposed to be Florida's normal bye week.
Right.
Before the Georgia game. You know, Florida and Georgia usually get a bye week before they play each other. Schedule's been remade to where Georgia will play Kentucky, Florida will play Missouri. And, I mean, you just kind of have to worry, if you're a Gator fan, worry where the team is at. I mean, it'd do some good to sit and look at film and diagnose some issues on defense, but part of the issues on defense was not being able to tackle. And now you're going to be away and not be able to practice for about 2 weeks. I mean, Bill, you do wonder what the mindset and, you know, maybe the physicality and how in shape these guys are going to be in. I'm literally taking about 2 weeks off. I mean, and it's not a traditional bye week. You know, if you get your normal bye week, you still have about 2 practices a week. Florida can't do anything right now. So it begs the question of which way it will go and if it'll help or hurt Florida having this time off.
Titans had about 2 weeks off, and they killed Buffalo.
Yeah.
No practice.
Exactly. So if you want to look at an example, it was like, okay, there we go. Maybe it translates into that. But you know, you had an offense that's on fire and scoring points, and a defense that needs all the help they can get. So we just have to kind of just wait and see. I don't think there's any way to project what's going to be the case there.
Yeah, what if it turns out the biggest football lesson during a pandemic is that practice is overrated?
Yeah,
I don't think coaches would like that, would they?
No, and it kind of also be maybe some false confidence because you are playing Missouri and team Florida is better than, but you know if you only have say 3 practices, 4 3-4 practices. Or say you do get 3 practices and you go out there and play pretty good against Missouri, is there some kind of false confidence as you're trying to gather everything and get ready for Georgia as well?
Gator Dave with us, talking about the Gators. As he just explained, there's really not a lot to talk about if you're not practicing and you're not playing games. Not a lot to speculate on. So here's what I will do. Games you have seen to date, Alabama, Georgia, some of the other games. Is the SEC shaping up any differently than perhaps what you anticipated before we started playing games?
Honestly, Bill, no. I guess what I'll look at overall is Florida's defense being much worse, and I think that necessarily kind of affecting where you look at Florida and Georgia right now. But, you know, everybody thought it was going to be a Florida-Georgia battle, and that's still the case right now. You go back to the game, the big game this weekend with Alabama and Georgia, played out almost exactly like I thought. I had a 30-24 Alabama win. So I got the Georgia score, right? But I didn't necessarily expect Alabama's offense to still hum along like they were. And let me tell you, Mac Jones and those receivers, I mean, that's just, you know, it's kind of unfair, especially when you go back and look up and see what they had at receiver last year. So the skill position talent that Alabama has is second to none right now when you look at that. So big picture-wise, not necessarily. I still think it's an Alabama-Florida-Georgia battle. You know, and we'll see where Florida is coming up in the next week or so. Maybe Texas A&M can kind of, you know, they keep improving it as the season goes on. And if their only loss is Alabama, you know, we'll see if that plays out that way. But that's, I think, a storyline to maybe keep in the back of your mind and seeing what Texas A&M does the rest of the season as well. As I think, you know, right now they, to me, are clearly the second best team in the West. And I don't see anybody else in the West. You know, of course, football happens and you can get beat. But if I have to pick the second best team, they've already played Alabama. You know, that could be their only loss when we get toward the end of the season. And Bill, just watching that Kentucky-Tennessee game over the weekend as well, I think, you know, one of the bigger questions in the SEC was, will Tennessee have a quarterback that can take that next step? And all eyes were on Garantano, and one of the worst games he's ever played. Hasn't looked like he's taken the necessary steps, and that program taking the next steps with him. So in Jeremy Pruitt's, you know, third season here, you still have the quarterback question, and for whatever reason, hesitation to move on from him.
Yeah, and I was going to say, and no indication they're going to do anything about it other than fire the defensive line coach.
Yeah, I don't know what that was about. I mean, I know it was what was it, quote, difference of opinion or different viewpoints or something? I mean, you've got to have some different viewpoints with your quarterback, too. So,
Gator Dave with us. When looking back at that LSU run a year ago and that offense, perhaps a generational offense, which means you don't see many like that, but could this Alabama team be that level of production offensively once we get through more games?
Bill, I say yeah, and I'll tell you why. LSU, when they were starting out last season and putting up numbers, you know, they had the luxury of playing a Georgia Southern and Vanderbilt, I think, and yeah, maybe one more lower-tier FBS school. And Alabama's doing this against four SEC schools so far, and one of them's the best defense in the country, and they're putting these numbers up. And I know LSU had a lot of success versus Georgia in the SEC championship game last year. But, Bill, to me, it's just an indication. I mean, this is an offensive game now, and that trend is full bore. I mean, we saw what LSU was able to do against that great Georgia defense last year, and now Alabama doing it again. And it just, to me, kind of just confirms the fact. It's kind of like the NFL right now. It's a quarterback-driven game right now. And with the playmaker that they have, at Alabama, and the way they've recruited, you know, top end or overall talent is much more than what LSU had last year. And LSU was able to find some kind of surprise pieces along the way. We didn't know how good Clyde Edwards-Helaire was going to be and those group of receivers. And they kind of burst onto the scene. Well, we kind of already knew that about Alabama, and it was all about if Mac Jones could progress from a point that he was at last year, and we've seen that progression, and him being able to use all that talent that's around him to his advantage. So, I mean, right now the numbers say it, and so far the competition's been just a little bit tougher when you compare it to early season LSU last year.
Gator Dave with us. Gator's Breakdown is his podcast. We'll let you know how you can get it. Big Ten getting started this weekend. Do you look much outside of the SEC when you're watching games?
I do. If there's a big-time ranked matchup, especially now, you know, yeah, this weekend Florida's not playing, so I can definitely, I can move my eyes over to another game. But, yeah, I would absolutely, take notice of that. Starts Friday night, I think, right?
Friday night. Illinois, Wisconsin, and then the rest of the slate on Saturday, including primetime TV, Minnesota hosting Michigan. A Minnesota fan pointed this out to me. All these years I do my OOP on Sundays for the next week. He says I've never had Minnesota in the one slot, and I do this week, Minnesota-Michigan. Oh, yeah. So that's new.
For week one, Big Ten, that's a where-are-you-trending type of game for, you know, Minnesota, P.J. Fleck, and trying to get everything going there. A lot of, you know, rumors of opt-outs from the Big Ten wasn't going to play, and then, you know, some of the players come back, and then Harbaugh in Michigan and Milton being the quarterback there. And Gator fans, you know, we'll remember Milton. He was a quarterback that Florida was in the conversation for from the state of Florida there playing at Michigan. So, I think that's a, you know, where from week one, you know, where's your program heading kind of top matchup? And does the anti-Harbaugh talk start really early in week one after losing, if you lose to Minnesota? And if Minnesota gets a win there, I think P.J. Fleck's reputation just gets a little higher and maybe pushing for a Big Ten title.
Let you run, but we were looking just a few minutes ago, a week out, to next Saturday, which would be, the 31st, end of the month. Penn State, Ohio State's already here, game two for that league. How about that?
Yeah. I mean, the Big Ten, Bill, and I'm looking at it a little bit different now, seeing what Florida's going through right now. And
right.
That's a big game, and it's early, and I think it's beneficial. You know, Michigan, Minnesota, and Penn State, Ohio State might be beneficial now to get those big games, if you're those big programs, out of the way early. Because, you know, say you're Ohio State and you get hit like Florida just got hit, and their protocol is, 21 days if a player tests positive and it's contagious and showing symptoms. And I don't know how a program will survive, you know, a lot of players being out for 21 weeks. So I think looking at the Big Ten or 21 days, so you look at the Big Ten and these big matchups that are early, and I think it's really beneficial for them that some of these big matchups are early, and your teams like Ohio State, which is Penn State's probably their toughest game of the year, has that game right away and led by Justin Fields. And I think he has a lot to prove. Going out there and seeing what Trevor Lawrence is doing, going out there and seeing what Mac Jones is doing for Alabama, the team that you're competing with, and you've got to watch that for the last 3-4 weeks now. I mean, I think it kind of just sets up Ohio State to say, okay, we can look at these teams. We know how good they are. We know we got to be on our game every week, and it'll definitely start in earnest with Penn State next week.
Tell everybody how they can get your podcast.
Everybody can get Gators Breakdown at news4jax.com or their favorite podcast platform, YouTube version as well. Last night we, you know, hammered home the COVID discussion a bit more. And even though, Bill, the Florida offense is really, really, really good, we did a little bit of nitpicking in last night's episode to kind of, you know, maybe nitpick a bit where the Florida offense can get even better.
Good stuff, Dave. See you next week.
Thanks, Bill.